Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks, you've probably learned more about the coronavirus than you ever imagined you would know about anything. I've heard hysterical remarks about the disease. I've heard other people who appear to be underplaying it. I try to stay somewhere in the middle, but I've got to tell you, I'm worried. I'm looking at sort of the exponential growth of this, and I'm wondering where it's all headed. I'm wondering what comes next. I know on Saturday morning, my wife and I really debated whether we should take our kids to gymnastics. We opted not to go. Erred on the safe side. I'm in the store alongside everyone else, stocking up. I came into this radio studio on Monday. I had Lysol wipes. I wiped everything down, probably long overdue, but I wiped everything down. I've been washing my hands. I've been using hand sanitizer, but I wanted to bring on a doctor who could help dispel some of the myths, maybe give us a good, measured response to some of the questions we all have. And the Oregon Health Authority has provided Dr. Paul Cieslak. I really appreciate you making time for us, Doctor.
Certainly.
Give us an idea of what your life has been like in the last week, really, the amount of time, the interviews you've done, and the questions you've got.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the situation has been changing very rapidly. We're trying to keep up with guidance from the Centers for Disease Control about the changing nature of the outbreak and changing responses to it. It's like drinking information from a fire hydrant and putting out information to the general public, to doctors, hospitals, schools, and so on. It's been very busy. We had a whole team of people working through the weekend on this, and we're still working.
Guidance-wise, where do we start that conversation? Does it start with wash your hands, or what's the most basic thing that we all should be doing?
Well, it definitely does start with washing your hands. Now that we've had several cases of disease pop up, apparently from out of nowhere in Davis, California, in the state of Washington, in the Portland metro area, and most recently in eastern Oregon, we know that the virus is in the community to a greater or lesser extent. We don't know precisely how much, but we know it's out there. And the steps that people need to take are the steps that you would take to prevent infection with any respiratory virus. So first and foremost, stay home if you're sick. So if you have a cough illness, don't be coughing all over the office or all over the school. Please stay home. Step number two is cover your cough. So when you're coughing, use a tissue, throw it away, or cough into, your elbow like we've been taught to do. And step number three is wash your hands frequently. Soap and running water for 20 seconds are probably the best. If you don't have that, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer.
Dr. Paul Cieslak is our guest, medical director, Oregon Health Authority. Dr. Cieslak, let's talk masks. That was one of the first things that came out. Mask is effective, is not effective. Who should be using a mask and how effective?
Well, we don't recommend that the general public, people who are feeling well, be wearing masks out in the street. We think it provides little to no additional protection and probably uses up masks that may need to be used by other people. If a person comes into the emergency department, for example, and they're coughing, we would like them to be put into a private room pretty quickly and put a mask on that person. So the mask probably helps the most when it's on the coughing person, so that they're not spreading respiratory droplets all over the room. But for the rest of us, I think its protection is low to negligible. I certainly don't wear one.
Hand sanitizer, how effective versus hand washing?
Well, it's pretty effective, and it will work against most bacteria and viruses. There are some viruses that it won't work against, like the norovirus, but it will work against coronavirus, against influenza, and many others. So hand washing is best because it should wash everything down the drain. Alcohols, hand sanitizers are a good substitute if you don't have access to soap and running water where you are.
You mentioned earlier sort of getting new, the information that the CDC is providing. Are we talking about a changing virus?
No, I don't think the virus is changing. I think we're reacting to new information about just how widespread it is. So, originally we thought it was limited to one city in China, remember? And then people who had traveled to that one city. But now it's in many countries around the world and in many states in the United States. And, of course, the experience just north of us up in the greater Puget Sound area has been really an eye-opener. They've had many, many cases and several deaths. So, we're realizing that it's more widespread than we had initially thought.
Is this something that will just simply run its course? I've heard people say that. How do you respond to that?
Well, I guess I would respond by saying we don't want it simply to run its course. Everything will run its course if we do nothing. But we definitely want to slow the transmission as much as possible. We don't think it's going to be possible completely to prevent every single case, but we do think it's possible to reduce the rate of transmission and reduce the number of people who get sick. And we do that by common sense measures like, really stay home when you're sick. I know a lot of people want to work when they have a cough illness, and there's a lot of, there can be pressure to work, but we really, at this point in time, need people to stay home when they're sick.
Dr. Paul Cieslak, our guest, Oregon Health Authority. I'm somebody who travels for work. I get on planes. I'll be headed to Las Vegas for the Pac-12 basketball tournament. I'm a little nervous about doing this. What do you say to people who are traveling?
Well, again, don't travel if you're coughing. We would certainly recommend that. Otherwise, at this point, I would certainly go ahead and travel. If somebody next to you is coughing, that's going to be a bit of a risk. And so, ask them to cough into their sleeve. I think that will substantially reduce your risk of exposure because we think this is spread by what we call the droplet route and not the airborne route, so that it's really being, coughed on with those droplets or even contracting the virus by shaking hands with people. So, limit your contact as much as possible. We've taken around the office here to doing the elbow bump instead of the handshake, the traditional handshake. You can take those sorts of steps. But at this point, I think your risk on an airplane is very, very low.
Dr. Paul Cieslak with us, Oregon Health Authority. Vaccination, how close are we to a vaccine, and how closely are you monitoring that?
Not very closely. I'm not holding my breath for a vaccine. We would certainly hope to get one, but it's a lot of work to bring a new vaccine to the market. They have to identify the parts of the virus that induce immunity that is protective. So you may make antibodies against a large number of proteins from the virus, but not all of them will protect you from infection by the virus. So they need to find out what are those crucial viral proteins, and then they need to formulate it into a vaccine, and then they need to test it, probably first in animals and then eventually in a few people to find out if it's safe, and then in a larger group of people to find out whether it works. So it's a long, I would be surprised if it didn't take more than a year.
What about children? Because, I'm talking to people and I say I'm worried because I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. You have kids as well. Are kids less at risk, more at risk, the same?
Well, we've mostly been testing people who are more seriously ill or who are direct contacts of other people who are sick. So we have a bit of a bias in finding the disease in more seriously ill people. It's possible that there are some less ill children out there. That said, there have been very few cases in children. I mean, this does not appear to be like influenza, which spreads so rapidly through a school or a daycare center, for example. So when you look at the large case series that are coming out of China, where they've been doing a lot more testing for a longer period of time, very few cases in children. So that's sort of reassuring.
The idea that we can get this under control because, you know, we're a great country. We've got the CDC. We've got a lot of great, smart doctors and get the information out like this interview. Do you have a sense of how long it will take us to know whether we're in real trouble here or this is something that's going to be under control and we're doing a good job with it?
Well, I guess we don't have enough information to answer that with any precision. Right now it looks like another disease like influenza, which I would argue is pretty serious. I mean, you know, people have gotten used to the idea that influenza circulates every year. But remember, it kills a few hundred Oregonians every year and probably puts a couple thousand into the hospital every year. So that's a pretty serious illness. And I don't like the idea of having another influenza like illness that is with us constantly. So we're still hoping that whatever it does, it eventually peters out and goes away entirely, like SARS did, for example, back in 2004. But it's too early to say right now.
The incubation period. My final question. I've heard the thing that terrified me too was I heard in the last couple of days, hey, there could be 300 to 500 Oregonians walking around with this. What is the incubation period, and is that different than other viruses?
Well, it's kind of in the range of many other viruses. There is a range. With other coronaviruses, related viruses, we've been saying 2 to 14 days and kind of guessing that the COVID-19 is similar. And all of the data right now suggests that that's true. That if you haven't been sick by 14 days after an exposure, you're not going to get sick. And most of the illnesses commence between 2 and 7 days after exposure, with probably an average of 4 to 6 days after exposure. So 14 days, we think, offers a margin of safety.
Okay, somebody who has symptoms, and I'm talking fever, cough, shortness of breath, hey, I might have this. Go to the ER, call your doctor. What's the move?
Well, we don't want to drive large numbers of people who don't need medical care to their doctor or to the emergency department. So I think the right thing to do is to call your doctor. I mean, if you're feeling, much sicker than, your usual respiratory illness, than your usual cold, then you may need to be seen, and we certainly, want you to be seen if you need to be seen. But call your doctor first. Tell them what you're concerned about. Come to a decision as to whether you need a medical evaluation. And then if you do, they can be ready for you, and they can evaluate you in a place where you won't be exposing lots of other people. And then, if necessary, go down the route of trying to get testing done.
Dr. Cieslak, I really appreciate your time. I'll bet you never thought you'd be on a sports radio show.
No, I love sports, and I thought you were going to ask about my Pittsburgh Steelers, but there it is.
The Ohio State. How about Ohio State?
The Ohio State University, right? My alma mater. Thank you for reminding me.
Should be a fun year. Are you going to go to the Oregon-Ohio State game?
Oh, I hadn't been thinking about it. I saw it on the agenda, but I don't have my tickets yet.
All right, there you go. I'll see you there. All right, thanks, okay. Doctor. All right, there's Dr. Cieslak. You know what I love about that interview? I love that he's an expert, okay? And with full disclosure, after Monday's debacle, I felt really bad about bringing some Yahoo doctor on the air who didn't really give us any answers. So I turned to the best authority I have on experts, which is my wife, who has a show called That Expert Show. If you haven't seen it, Google it. She has experts on finance, college admission, medical issues. She did a special edition because her thing on Monday, because she does the show every Monday, was an episode on how to get a raise at your job. So scramble there for the raise. But then she did a special episode with Dr. Cieslak on the coronavirus. And I was like, here I am trying to get a Yahoo doctor. I need an expert. I kept thinking, I need an expert. Finally, last night, I said, why is it so hard to get an expert? She's like, you should just get this guy, Dr. Cieslak. He came on my show. I was like, thanks. So go to thatexpertshow.com if you want to be an expert on all things, ranging from sleep to diet to exercise. It's really a fascinating concept. She's got about 60 episodes on there that you can see that are different things. She's doing it in conjunction with the Oregonian, and people are eating it. I think like 80,000 people were watching that last episode. So check it out. Everybody's doing it. That's what I'm saying. Leave it here. Good stuff from the good doctor. I appreciate Dr. Cieslak for making time for us. Got a real doctor. Did you guys find that better than the last doctor we had on?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oregon Health Authority. Did you get your questions answered?
Yeah, definitely. I did.
What was your primary question going into that interview? Because I was wrestling with that.
I really wanted to know about the vaccines because I heard that girl in my class say that they were working on one or that they already had one. And I was like, I don't think so.
Peter Sampson, your number one question.
What I'm curious is, once you're infected, if you recover, do you actually develop an immunity or can you be infected again?
Yeah, I looked that one up on the CDC website, and it appears as though if you have been infected with it and survived it, you should be okay.
Okay.
But continue to wash your hands.
Yes.
Continue to take those preventative measures. I just felt better about, there's two things that I was really focused on. Kids. Because I see kids as more vulnerable. Dr. Cieslak saying, look, they don't appear to be any more vulnerable than anybody else walking around. And also the most vulnerable appear to be people with pre-existing health conditions. But the idea that, and I think he meant well by saying he's not holding his breath for a vaccine. Because if you're sitting around waiting for a vaccine to do what we could all really help with, here's your part, right? I essentially heard from him that your part in helping with this coronavirus is wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, cover your mouth if you're coughing, and if you have symptoms, call your doctor. Don't go running into the ER for a couple of reasons. One being you're going to overwhelm the ER that is supposed to be dealing with emergencies. And two being that when you run into an ER, you're running into 50 other people probably sitting in the ER. Probably not the best place for somebody who maybe thinks they're sick to go do. But I think the bottom line is we can all do our part. We can all do a little bit to help out. So I appreciate Dr. Cieslak for making time. And he's busy. I know he's done a ton of interviews. I know he's busy. He's working hard. He's got a job to do. This really isn't his job description, but it really is a public service, and it's why I deviated from talking sports for a few minutes, because it's stuff we're all dealing with. I think it's important. A lot of misinformation flying around out there, and the end game here is if we can limit the exposure to this virus and limit the number of people that are infected, we take a big burden off our health system, and we can really focus on the people who really need the help, the people who are sick. I saw that was one of the things in China that caused problems, was that they were overwhelmed, and there were people who were, you know, going to the hospital because they were in dire condition, and they couldn't treat enough people, and so you had people who were dying, and you know, some of the benefit is that it didn't hit the United States first. We've had a chance to, I think our medical system, the CDC, we've had a chance at least to like get our feet underneath us, right? Like the worst thing ever is to get blind.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but If you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.